friends. Interment will be at Clover Hill Park Cemetery. At the family's request, we will not be traveling in procession to the cemetery. Anyone wishing to attend the interment at the conclusion of the service, return to your car, drive on your own to the cemetery, and we will allow ample time before continuing with the committal service. The family will be sitting following today's interment up until 8 p.m. at Temple Israel, 5725 Walnut Lake Road in West Bloomfield for friends to call. Religious services will be conducted tonight at 7 p.m. It is suggested for those of you who wish to further honor Clayton's memory may do so by means of a contribution to Mott's Children's Hospital. We have this charity information on these printed out sheets along with directions to the cemetery and to Temple Israel, which you may obtain at the conclusion of the service. Thank you.
Mizmor le David, Adonai roi lo echsar, in ot deshe yarbitzeni, al mei menuchot, al mei menuchot, yena. Nafshi yeshovev yeshovev Yahancheni b'magelet tzedek Yahancheni b'magelet tzedek Shemo Gam ki elech begeitz al mavet lo ira ra ki ata imadi shiftecha umi shantecha hema yenamuni taharoch lefahanai shulchan neged Ishanta Vashemen Roshi Kosi Revaya Ach Tov Achesed Yirdefuni Kol Yemei Chaya כל ימי חיי בשבתי בבית אדוני לאורך ימי Adonai roi lo echsar Adonai roi lo
In the book of Ecclesiastes, Kohelet writes that the eye never has its fill of seeing. The eye never has its fill of seeing. And it's true. Young or old, those who depart this life never see enough of the world, never fully complete their task, never have the opportunity to cherish their loved ones enough before they are called home. How they yearn for yet another respite from this final summons, and how we yearn to have them close to us for yet another challenge in our lives, yet another joy, yet another precious moment spent together. O God, be now with those whose hearts are broken, for whenever parting comes, it comes too soon. Console them at this hour, sustain them, be near to them when light seems so distant, be with them until the time of healing has come. Esainai el heharim ayin yavo ezri, ezri mei marunai oseh shamayim v'aretz, al yiten lamot raglecha al yonum shomrecha, hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael, Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha ayad yiminecha, yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'reach v'layla, Adonai yishmorcho mikol ra, yishmor et napshecha, Adonai yishmor tzecha uvoecha me'atav yad olam. I lift up mine eyes unto the mountains. Whence shall my help come? My help will come from Adonai, the maker of heaven and of earth. God will not let your foot give way. Your protector will not slumber. See, the protector of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. God is your guardian. God is your protection at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. God will guard you from all harm now, Clayton. God will guard your soul, your going and your coming, now and forever. Friends, our Torah portion on this sad week as we bid farewell to our beloved Clayton Jarris is the beginning of a new book of the Torah entitled Vayikra. In it are listed the ritual sacrifices performed by the Kohanim, the priests at the Holy Temple. And among the list we find an offering called the Zevach Shlemim, or sacrifice of well-being. This was a voluntary sacrifice often brought to fulfill a vow. And I believe that that is exactly how we can view the life of Clayton Jarris. One of constant offerings to make sure that everyone around him, the people he loved, were safe and taken care of and had a sense of well-being. That they lived, because of his efforts, with an abiding sense of who they are and what they could accomplish in this world. That was his mission in life, that was his vow, and that was the inspiration for the many sacrifices, the many offerings he made in order to take care of the people he loved. A Zevach Shlemim of the highest order. And speaking of vows, the vows that Clayton made to his beautiful Rebecca of 57 years ago were the centerpiece of his life. He did everything for her and would do anything to make her happy. She loved golf, so he took up golf. A grandchild told this story, which I believe sums it up quite well. They were all sitting, the family, around a festive table, sharing what they liked about the year that had passed. Everyone focused on something in their own lives, something that had gone well or that they had enjoyed or accomplished. When it came to Papa Clayton, he said, "My favorite thing about the year that passed was when Nana won her golf tournament." I asked how they met, and she said, "We were fixed up by our mothers, smart mothers, because it was love at first sight. So much so that the young couple was engaged after only 3 months and eloped together only 3 months after that with a honeymoon in New York. Of course, being in the tool business, he might have stopped and purchased a few tools on the way back home, but mostly it was a honeymoon. For Clayton did love working and worked very hard to provide for his family at Ashgear and Supply, but he was always clear that he was doing it for his family. He worked hard, but he was not a workaholic, always home for dinner because being with family was the most important thing to him. He wanted to make me happy, Rebecca explained, and he worked very hard at it. As I said, Zevach Shlemim, sacrifice made for the well-being of others. Besides having movie star good looks, Rebecca told me she fell in love with how very sweet and kind and generous he was. He never spoke ill of anyone. and also that he was, as she expressed it, a liver, a doer, and a goer. And he would do anything I wanted, she added, as long as he didn't have to go shopping. Together they made a beautiful couple, of course, you all know. And they were great dancers, beautiful on the dance floor as well, to the embarrassment of their horrified children when they would get up at their friends' bar and bat mitzvahs and dance the lambada. But as embarrassing as it may have been for their prodigy, everyone else was taken with how much in love they clearly were. Their children also remembered them dancing together in the kitchen for birthdays and special occasions. And once, for the anniversary, the kids got them salsa dance lessons, and we'd play Adele songs, they told me, while Clayton and Rebecca would give us a show to show off their latest moves. We threw a lot of parties, Rebecca remembered. I mean, a lot. And indeed, they were blessed with a wonderful group of friends. Their children, Bradley and Roxana, Shayna, Annie and Ryan, told me that they were blessed with the perfect dad. He was all about us, did everything with us and for us. He always did the dirty jobs. Indeed, one of his favorite things to do around the house was to take out the garbage. It was sort of his thing. Dad had a way of integrating me into all his projects, Brad continued. He supported me in every activity, even sports, though that wasn't really his thing. He loved working and fixing things. He used to bring me to work every Saturday, and perhaps as a result, I ended up joining him in his gear-cutting tool business, Ash Gear and Supply. It had been my grandfather's tool shop, but Dad really turned it into a business, implementing inventory, purchasing, marketing, which built it up to what it is today. I asked what he was like to work with, and Brad shared this story. Once, I made a horrible mistake that cost the company a lot of money. Dad's reaction? Well, now you know for next time. It doesn't count what you sell it for, he used to say. It only counts what you purchase it for. That was one of his mottos, but not as important as this one. The important one is, it is all about how you treat people. And my guess is that was really the key to his success. That and a lot of really, really hard work, standing on a cement floor for hours at a time, which did not do good things for his back, unfortunately. Shayna and her family were lucky enough to live nearby in Florida, and thus to spend every Sunday together, which was always a treat. He helped raise my kids, she told me, and he was so very generous. I'd say, Dad, we need this, or we need that, and he'd just write you a check. But you had to turn off the lights and unplug the toaster. My dad was the one to fix everyone's problems, and he would leave no stone unturned, calling constantly to check every detail. My dad was not just a dad, he was a superhero, Shayna wrote. He was my guiding star, my greatest mentor, and my best friend. I want my kids to know that I am who I am because of my dad. Every time our garage was broken or the sink disposal didn't work, I stayed up late fixing it because that was what my dad taught me. Every time I do a tune-up on my car, can you do tune-ups on cars anymore? I thought it was all computerized. But anyway, every time I do a tune-up on my car or remind my children to do the same, it's because that's what my dad taught me. I want my kids to know to always check that you have updated paperwork in their cars because that's what my dad taught me. I want my kids to know every time I ring their phone, it's not to bother or drive them crazy. I just need to hear that they are safe. I do that because that's what my dad taught me. Dad, your love, patience, and kindness will live on inside us forever. You have given us gifts that are more precious than anything else in this world. You loved unconditionally and gave generously. Today, as we bid farewell to my father, I am not saying goodbye. Instead, I am saying thank you. Thank you, Dad, for your endless patience, your invaluable lessons, your wisdom, and your guidance. Annie remembers that whenever they would go over, her dad would be standing outside, waving them into the parking space. He was a great parent, she observed, in that he taught us to be independent, like how to change your oil, as you've heard. He let us be. He let us be, at which point Shayna chimed in, not me, but Annie is the youngest, after all. When things go wrong, Annie continued, I think about my dad and how I can handle it because of the way he raised me. Even in the face of this terrible loss, I know I will be okay because that's the way he would want me to be and how he taught me to be. He did all the dirty work around the house when we were growing up, took all the tough jobs upon himself. So recently we observed, quote, a day of Clayton. We took out the garbage, cleaned off the leaves, did all the chores he loved to do, and then went out for Dairy Queen. You see, he just wanted our lives to be safe and to make things easier for us. He wanted everyone to be safe and okay, and that was the entire purpose of his life. That's what he was worried about, even at the end. Even when he could not speak, he somehow communicated with us, making sure that each and every grandchild was good. Even further examples of Zevach Shlemim, the sacrifices of well-being that Clayton offered so freely in his life to those he loved. He was dependable, always there for you when you needed him, which for me was a great example of how to be a parent. When no other parent would drive us somewhere, he was the one to volunteer. At one point, I asked her what his hobbies were, and Annie replied, taking care of us. Ryan agreed, adding that his father-in-law always made life easier for the people around him. That is why he would wave you into those parking spots he had saved for you. Even something as mundane as parking should go easily for his family and the people he loved. If you needed something, he was there to help. We had a great relationship because we saw the world in the same way. Roxana added that Clayton was an old soul. And if you knew him, I love that line because he really was an old soul, very wise, with great intuition about people. But of all the sacrifices that Clayton made in his life, the one made most joyfully were those that were made on behalf of his grandchildren, Ben, Emily, Chloe, Cameron, Carly, Elle, and Ashlyn. You just cannot find anyone like him, they told me. He never said no. Even when they wanted to make him sit down and do his makeup and gel his hair, he never said no. He was always checking that we had enough money, the right shoes, everything that we might need. We'd leave his house and he'd make us call when we got home just to make sure we had arrived safely. We'd spend holidays together and made his favorite cookies and all the treats that he loved. Once after camp, we had lice. And the procedure to nitpick was so painful that Papa, who of course had not been to camp and certainly did not have lice, insisted that they check him too so that he would make their ordeal just a little bit lighter for his grandchildren. That was Papa. He'd come over after school to eat chips, but really to check on us. He taught us how to drive, and indeed Ben told me, Rabbi, I would not have a driver's license today without him. After I failed parallel parking a few times, Papa pulled a few bills from his wallet, handed them to the instructor, and suddenly I had a driver's license. I loved going golfing with him. Ben, you and your dad spent so much time taking care of him this last year, and the entire family wanted me to express how grateful they are to you. You are his guy. But you told me that you really had fun doing it as well, taking walks, watching sports together, and thankfully your papa was able to express to you openly how much he appreciated your care for him. Emily also focused on driving with Papa. When I was learning, I would drive with Papa to pick up dinner. Once, I made an obviously illegal and dangerous left turn. He just gave me a look that said, oh boy. She remembers hitting balls with him at the driving range in Florida and going to the gym together. Everyone who knows me, Chloe wrote, knows that my papa is my hero. Growing up 5 minutes away, he played such an active part in raising me, from our Wednesday and Sunday night dinners to him teaching me how to play Monopoly, drive a car, pump gas, unplug the toaster, and decipher north, south, east, and west without a compass. Papa taught me everything I know. He even had me driving in a parking lot before I had a permit, and he would just walk outside the car to make sure everything went well. He was always the first person there for me in both the best and worst times. I find myself doing things and using mannerisms that I got from him, and those are my favorite things about me. I love that line. Those are my favorite things about me. Even though this loss leaves me with a hole in my heart, I am so lucky to have had him in my life. There is no one else in the world like my papa. He is truly one of a kind. K Cameron remembers the robes he would always walk around in. At a certain hour, he would get out of his clothes and get into a comfortable robe. Once, Nana decided they didn't need to spend so much on robes, so she went and got him one at Target. He loved it and gave us all a fashion show to show it off. He was optimistic about everything. Carly said he was the best, and it was a pleasure to be loved by him. I saw him all the time, especially since he would just drop in randomly. Once I told him that I needed a car, he just took me to the dealership and brought me a car. By the way, Clayton was my neighbor. I never thought to go over and say, Clayton, I really could use a car. And he'd come over and take it and get it gassed up and everything to boot. He made movies with us, which is a wonderful memory. And each and every year we got him the same gift, a poster board decorated with candy. And he had the same reaction each time. He loved it. He taught me everything, helped me with my homework, and he always believed in me and told me that he believed in me all the time. Elle remembers that he convinced her that he was the real Donald Duck, and she didn't figure out it wasn't true for many years. Nana had secret hiding places for chocolates, and he made us tell him where they were so that we could share them. Once, we left a cake out with a sign for our papa, who had a sweet tooth, which said, "Do not eat." We came back and found that there was another sign which read, "Why not?" And last, but definitely not least, Ashley remembers that he'd tell us lots of amazing stories, some of them true and some of them not. He'd tell us about jobs he used to have, shoe salesman, for instance. He'd take us shopping and tell the stories about when he sold shoes, how he'd stretch his shoes out when they didn't fit. And once the owner of the store must have been listening because he actually offered him a job right on the spot. He told us that he had been a hand model in his youth, worked security at the grocery store, had written the book Captain Underpants himself, and was even once a spy. Now, kids, I just want you to know the last two are probably not true. If I had any accomplishment, she told me, he would be the first one I'd call. Our hearts also go out to his brother-in-law, Hi, and his wife, Ellen, and to his siblings, Bruce and Susan, Craig and Hope and Candy, who also contributed in taking such good care of him in his hours of need. But from them, what I really wanted to hear was about the young Clayton Jarris. And they told me that he had been a man about town before he met Rebecca, handsome and dashing, always driving a sexy car like his little two-seater MG, in which he would pick up stars like Sammy Davis Jr. at the airport and shuttle them to the Elmwood Theater. Of course, once when he was learning to drive, he spied a couple of pretty girls on the right side of the road just as he was turning left into his driveway and ran the car right into his house. Their brother, they told me, was always family-oriented and worked with our father in the laundry business before he joined Rebecca's father's company. He was both hardworking and fun with lots of friends. He was someone who enjoyed his life. He was a caretaker, though, all of his life, his younger sister told me. Once, a teacher in school was flunking me, and my brother went in the next day, and suddenly, I passed. Now, I have no idea whether he used the same approach as with his grandson's driving instructor, but whatever he did, it worked. To put it simply, if you had a problem, he took care of it. That was Clayton. And so, even though his life has now come to an end, sadly, at the age of 81, his legacy, the legacy of making zevach shleimim, offerings of well-being, will live on forever in the hearts, the minds, indeed the very souls of all who loved him. Kein yehi ratzon, may it be your will, O God, and let us say, as we rise now for the memorial prayer.
Male rachamim shochen shochen bamrumim hamsem lochan chonat achat kanfei hashchina im Kedoshim Utorim, Kezor Harakia Mazirim, Et Nishmat Esetzel Ben Yonah Vechana, Shehalach, Shehalach Leolamo. Baal HaRachamim Yastirehu Beseter Kerafav Leolamim Veitzror Vitzror HaChaim Et Nishmato Adonai Hu Nachalato Veyanuach B'shalom B'shalom Al Mishkavo Velomar
on, step forward, as well as the family, please get your coats. We'll all be walking out together.